Good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Thumb Show. I'm Lee Murray, your reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for joining us. From the Arizona Republic, Why This Holiday Event Has Been an Arizona Tradition for Decades, by Paige Moore. As we approach Christmas, the quest for the most beautiful Christmas lights begins. Las Noches de las Luminarias is the Desert Botanical Garden's longest-running tradition. Since 1987, staff and volunteers have worked tirelessly to arrange these starry lights for guests to enjoy. Now, nearly 40 years later, the tradition remains. As if the Desert Botanical Garden wasn't already beautiful enough, for the month of December, the gardens are lit up with lights and luminarias. Here's what to know about the special holiday event, how it started, and how to attend. During the festivities of Las Noches de las Luminarias, attendees can enjoy music and entertainment from several cultures, including Irish, Indian, Latin, and Polynesian music and dance. Christmas experiences such as Sonoran Santa and Christmas carolers were on the agenda, as well as performances from Mariachi Pasión, an all-female mariachi group. Food and holiday cocktails can also be expected throughout the garden, as well as dining opportunities at Gertrude's by Tarbell's, which is also located within the gardens. History of Luminarias. In the early years of Las Posadas celebrations, travelers were led by light to guide them to the churches. These lights were luminarias. Las Posadas is a religious festival that celebrates the journey that Joseph and Mary made from Nazareth to Bethlehem as they searched for a safe place for Mary to give birth to her baby, Jesus. Although the luminarias we know today are not the same as they once were. Instead of brown paper bags full of sand and candles, luminarias consisted of small stacks of sticks made into square shapes that were lit aflame to create light. In the late historian Pedro Ribera Ortega's book Christmas in Old Santa Fe, he explained that the Chinese had been making paper lanterns for centuries. It wasn't until later that the Spanish began to trade with the Chinese and took the concept home with them. The idea traveled to Mexico and then to colonies in New Mexico. Soon, little lanterns, or farolitos, became a custom for Spanish culture. Farolitos and luminarias are often used interchangeably, depending on where you reside across the Southwest. Las Noches de las Luminarias are primarily a weekend-only event, running this weekend, the 18th through the 23rd, and 26th through the 30th of December. Events and festivities go from 5:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. for each night listed. Members of the Desert Botanical Garden get a discounted rate for entry. Adult members pay $40.95, and child tickets cost $19.95 for members. General admission for adults is $45.95 and $21.95 for children. Tickets can be purchased at the garden's website, dbg.org. For more information, visit the Desert Botanical Garden's website or call 480-941-1225. Here's another article from the Arizona Republic. Tired of poinsettias? Mix things up with other Christmas flowers, by Chris McCown. As I am welcomed into friends and relatives' homes during the holidays, I notice a direct connection between their decorating style and how much they garden. Friends who are not into gardening most likely have an artificial tree along with plastic greenery. Of course, the gardeners have a real tree, some a living tree. They have real evergreen boughs adorning their other decorations. The gardeners love the smell of the evergreens because it makes them feel like they're out in the woods. Gardeners don't stop with the greenery. They also like having flowers around. While poinsettias are the most popular holiday flowers, there are other flowers for the holidays you can use. Cyclamens. Cyclamens are a great addition or alternative. Cyclamens have attractive speckled foliage and the flowers come in a range of colors. The most common are white, red, purple, and pink. The flowers resemble butterflies hovering over the foliage. Cyclamens became popular for the holidays because they prefer cooler temperatures. The blooms are long-lasting when the plant is kept cool. In the house, they should not be placed near a heat source. Cyclamens prefer bright but indirect light. They prefer even moisture, and you should avoid letting them dry out while avoiding keeping them too wet. It is best to water them from the bottom up from water placed in a saucer. Christmas cactus. Another great flower for the holidays is the Christmas cactus. Before the Christmas cacti were discovered, there was a Thanksgiving cactus and an Easter cactus. In this family of cactus, the Christmas cactus was born as a hybrid of the other two. Today, there are more than 300 varieties of Christmas cactus. The Christmas cactus will also bloom best in cooler temperatures. These, too, need to be kept in a cool place, away from heat sources. They are not a true cactus, but are succulent plants. They are not drought-tolerant, but they will store water for long periods of time. They like humid conditions. If the air in your house is dry, you should place your Christmas cactus on a saucer filled with pebbles and water. The pebbles will keep the plant from sitting in the water. Then, as the water evaporates, moisture will be provided to the plant. Properly cared for, it is not unusual for a Christmas cactus to live for 40 to 50 years. There are many families who have Christmas cacti that are passed down through generations. Amaryllis. Another traditional holiday flower is the amaryllis. Amaryllis are large bulbs that produce large flowers on top of tall stems. Amaryllis bulbs take about 6 weeks to bloom after they're planted. If you are buying a bulb now, they will not bloom before Christmas. You will be able to find amaryllis in bloom from florists. Poinsettias. Of course, we have to include poinsettias. Each Christmas, more than 70 million of these plants are sold in the United States. Red ones are the most popular, but they too come in different colors. What most people do not know is the flowers on the poinsettias are the little yellow parts in the center. The red, pink, white, and other colors of the poinsettias are actually the leaves. These leaves have changed color from a lack of daylight, just as the leaves change colors on our landscape plants in the fall. To follow the trend of the other holiday flowers, poinsettias also like bright indirect light. They should also be kept away from heat sources. They are sensitive to overwatering, so let them dry out between watering. All of these plants are great for adding natural living colors to your decorations. If you're attending a holiday party, they are also very appropriate gifts for the hosts. From agriscaping.com, Southwest Winter Gardening, what and how to grow in cold months. Winter may seem like a time to put your garden to rest, but the desert Southwest tells a different story about what and how to grow in cold months. The colder months here offer the perfect opportunity to grow a variety of crops that thrive in cooler weather. With the right techniques and a selection of winter-friendly plants, you can enjoy fresh produce straight from your garden. In this guide, we'll explore what and how to grow in cold months to make the most of your winter gardening in Arizona or the desert Southwest. Why winter gardening works in the desert Southwest. The desert Southwest, including Arizona, has a unique climate that allows for successful gardening year-round. In winter, the extreme heat drops off, making it ideal for cool season crops. Unlike colder regions, the winters here are mild. That means you can grow a wide range of vegetables, greens, and even herbs throughout the season. But there are challenges. Frost can strike on occasion, and shorter daylight hours means you'll need to adjust your approach to planting and care. Let's dive into the crops that grow well and the steps you can take to keep your winter garden thriving. The best crops for winter gardening. To have a successful winter garden in the desert Southwest, it's essential to choose crops that love cool weather. Here are some top picks for what and how to grow in cold months. Leafy greens. Leafy greens are one of the best choices for winter gardening in the desert. They're easy to grow and flourish in cooler temperatures. Lettuce. Choose a variety of lettuces like romaine, butterhead, or loose leaf. They can handle a little frost and grow quickly. Spinach. Spinach loves cooler weather. Plant it in full sun for quick results. Kale. A frost-hardy green, kale becomes even sweeter after a cold snap. Swiss chard. Swiss chard is another hardy, leafy green that tolerates cold and keeps producing throughout winter. Root vegetables. Root crops grow well when planted in fall or early winter. Carrots. These root veggies prefer cooler soil. Mulch helps keep them cozy as temperatures drop. Radishes. Radishes are fast growers, giving you a harvest in just a few weeks. Beets. Beets enjoy cool weather, and their leaves can be harvested along with the root. Brassicas. This family of vegetables thrives in the desert's winter months. Broccoli. Plant broccoli early in the season as it enjoys cooler temperatures. Cabbage. Cabbage is frost-tolerant and will form tight heads during cooler months. Cauliflower. Cauliflower, another cool-weather crop, it can withstand light frosts. Herbs. Many herbs grow well in winter, offering fresh flavors all season long. Parsley. Cold hardy parsley grows well in winter gardens. It's a great addition to salads and soups. Cilantro. Cool temperatures keep cilantro from bolting, giving you a longer harvest window. Dill. Dill thrives in the desert's winter, making it perfect for salads, pickling, and soups. Edible flowers. Add some color to your winter garden with cold-tolerant edible flowers. Calendula. Not only is calendula beautiful, but it's also edible and can withstand cooler temperatures. Violas. These small flowers bloom in winter and can be used to decorate salads and desserts. Essential winter gardening techniques. Now that you know what to grow in cold months, let's talk about how to grow them successfully. Winter gardening in the desert requires some unique techniques. Timing your planting. In the desert southwest, timing is key to a bountiful winter garden. The best time to plant is late fall. This allows the plants to establish roots before the coldest weather sets in. You can also plant many crops throughout the winter months. Protecting your plants from frost. While winters in the desert are mild, frost can still occur. Frost can damage delicate plants. Protect your crops with these tips. Use frost cloth. Cover your plants with frost cloth or row covers when frost is expected. Mulch your beds. A thick layer of mulch will insulate the soil and protect the roots of your plants. Water wisely. Watering your garden before a frost helps insulate the plants. Moist soil holds more heat than dry soil. Maximizing sunlight. Winter days are shorter, so maximizing sunlight is essential. Position your plants in areas that receive the most sunlight during the day. A south-facing location is ideal in the desert southwest. You could also use reflective surfaces like white walls or aluminum to reflect more light onto your plants. Studying up on the agriscaping microclimate techniques can be a big assist in this category. Watering in winter. Winter crops need less water than summer crops. Overwatering can lead to root rot. Check the soil before watering, and only water when it's dry, an inch below the surface. Watering early in the day allows excess moisture to evaporate, reducing the risk of frost damage. Using irrigation lines helps keep water regulated. Using raised beds. Raised beds are great for winter gardening in the desert. They warm up faster than the ground, which is beneficial for cool season crops. Raised beds also drain well, which helps prevent waterlogged roots. Crop rotation for a healthy garden. Practicing crop rotation keeps your garden healthy year after year. After harvesting your summer crops, rotate in your winter crops. This prevents pests and diseases from settling in. It also replenishes the soil with different nutrients. Companion planting in winter. Companion planting works year-round, even in winter. Here are a few companion plants that work well together in cooler months. Carrots and onions. Onions repel pests that typically bother carrots. Spinach and radishes. Radishes grow quickly and provide shade for slower-growing spinach. Broccoli and dill. Dill attracts beneficial insects that help broccoli grow better. Preparing for the next growing season. Winter gardening isn't just about the present. It's a time to prep for the next growing season. Use these months to enrich your soil with compost and organic matter. Add fertilizers that support root growth. This will give you a head start when spring arrives. Benefits of winter gardening in the desert. There are many benefits to what and how to grow in cold months in the desert southwest. You'll enjoy fresh, homegrown produce when grocery store options are limited. Winter gardening also helps you maintain healthy soil year-round. It prevents weeds from taking over and keeps pests at bay. Plus, it's a chance to try new crops that wouldn't survive the summer heat. Winter gardening in the desert southwest is a rewarding experience. From leafy greens to root vegetables, many crops thrive in cooler weather. By using smart techniques like timing your planting, protecting against frost, and maximizing sunlight, you can have a bountiful winter harvest. Now is the perfect time to plan your winter garden and make the most of the cold months. Keep your garden growing with these winter wonders and enjoy fresh, delicious crops all season long. Also from agriscaping.com, flowers are among the best plants to grow in the desert southwest during winter. First on the list, pansies. Pansies are one of the best plants to grow in the desert southwest during the winter. Their bright colors bring life to your garden when many other plants have stopped blooming. Pansies prefer the cooler temperatures of winter and can handle light frosts. In zones 8, 9, and 10, plant pansies in well-drained soil for continuous blooms throughout the season. Snapdragons. Snapdragons thrive in the desert's winter temperatures. These colorful flowers are perfect for adding height and texture to your garden. In zones 8 and 9, they grow best when planted in full sun and watered sparingly. Their cheerful blooms can last well into late winter. Alyssum is next. Alyssum is a hardy flower that loves the cooler desert climate. Its delicate white flowers bring a soft, fragrant touch to your garden. In garden zones 9 and 10, alyssum can be planted in early winter and will continue to bloom through spring. Next on the list is calendula. Calendula is a cold, hardy flower that brightens up winter gardens with its golden blooms. It thrives in the cooler months of zones 8, 9, and 10. Plant calendula in early fall to enjoy its long-lasting flowers all winter. Desert perennials for winter interest. Agave. Agave is a quintessential desert plant that looks great year-round. In winter, these hardy succulents are one of the best plants to grow in the desert southwest during winter. They retain their shape and color, adding structure to your garden. Aloe vera. Aloe vera is a low-maintenance plant that thrives in desert conditions. It continues to grow during the winter months in zones 9 and 10. Aloe adds a bold architectural element to your garden while providing practical benefits like its healing gel. Desert marigold. Desert marigolds are tough plants that bloom in cooler weather. These perennials bring bright yellow blooms to your winter garden. In zones 8 and 9, plant desert marigolds in early fall for flowers that last throughout winter. Fenstemon. Fenstemon is another fantastic choice for winter gardens. These desert perennials bloom in the cooler months and attract pollinators like hummingbirds. Fenstemon thrives in zones 8 and 9 where it can be planted in well-drained soil. Tips for a successful winter garden. Water wisely. Desert plants do not need as much water during the winter months. Water deeply, but less frequently to encourage root growth. Choose frost-resistant varieties. Even in mild winters, frost can occur. Select plants that are frost-tolerant or provide frost protection with coverings. Enrich the soil. Many desert soils lack nutrients. Add compost or organic fertilizers to improve soil quality before planting. Plant in raised beds. For better drainage, especially in zones 8 and 9, consider using raised beds. This prevents water from pooling around plant roots. And a conclusion, winter in the desert southwest is a time to enjoy a productive garden without the harsh summer heat. Whether you're growing vegetables, herbs, or flowers, the right plant choices can ensure a vibrant and healthy garden all season long. For gardeners in zones 8, 9, and 10, winter is the perfect time to get growing. From leafy greens to colorful flowers, there are countless options for creating a thriving winter garden. With careful planning and the right plant selection, your desert garden can be just as beautiful and productive in winter as in any other season. Happy gardening! And those of you who are regular listeners to this show know we feature stories each week from the terrific book called Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. This story is called The Plum Pretty Sister. It was written by Cynthia Bryan, and there's a quote here from Elizabeth Lawrence. There is a garden in every childhood, an enchanted place where colors are brighter, the air softer, and the morning more fragrant than ever again. The Plum Pretty Sister. Justin was a climber. By 1.5, he had discovered the purple plum tree in the backyard, and its friendly branches became his favorite hangout. At first, he would climb just a few feet and make himself comfortable in the curve where the trunk met the branches. Soon, he was building himself a small fort and dragging his toy tractors and trucks up to their new garage. One day, when he was 2, Justin was playing in the tree as usual. I turned my back to prune the rose bush, and he disappeared. "Justin, where are you?" I hollered. His tiny voice called back, "Up here, Mommy, picking all the plums for you." I looked up in horror and disbelief. There was Justin on the roof of the house, filling his plastic bucket with the ripe, juicy plums from his favorite tree. When Justin was 3, I became pregnant. My husband and I explained to him that we were going to have another baby as a playmate for him. He was very excited, kissed my tummy, and said, "Hello, baby, I'm your big brother, Justin." From the beginning, he was sure he was going to have a little sister, and every day he'd beg to know if she was ready to play yet. When I explained that the baby wasn't arriving until the end of June, he seemed confused. One day he asked, "When is June, Mommy?" I realized I needed a better explanation. How could a 3-year-old know what June meant? Just then, as Justin climbed in the low branches of the plum tree, he gave me the answer I was looking for, his special tree. "Justin, the baby is going to be born when the plums are ripe. You can keep me posted when that will be, okay?" I wasn't completely sure if I was on target, but the gardener in me was confident I'd be close enough. Oh, he was excited. Now Justin had a way to know when his new baby sister would come to play. From that moment on, he checked the old plum tree several times a day and reported his findings to me. Of course, he was quite concerned in November when all the leaves fell off the tree. By January, with the cold and the rains, he was truly worried whether his baby would be cold and wet like his tree. He whispered to my tummy that the tree was strong and that she, the baby, had to be strong too and make it through the winter. By February, a few purple leaves began to shoot forth and his excitement couldn't be contained. "My tree is growing, Mommy. Pretty soon she'll have baby plums and then I'll have my baby sister." March brought the plums' beautiful tiny white flowers and Justin was overjoyed. "She's blooming, Mommy," he chattered, struggling with the word blooming. He rushed to kiss my tummy and got kicked in the mouth. "The baby's moving, Mommy. She's blooming too. I think she wants to come out and see the flowers." So it went for the next couple of months as Justin checked every detail of his precious plum tree and reported to me about the flowers turning into tiny beads that would become plums. The rebirth of his tree gave me ample opportunity to explain the development of the fetus that was growing inside me. Sometimes I think he believed I had actually planted a baby seed inside my tummy, because when I drank water, he'd say things like, "You're watering our little flower, Mommy." I'd laugh and once again explain in simple terms the story of the birds and the bees, the plants and the trees. June finally arrived, and so did the purple plums. At first they were fairly small, but Justin climbed his tree anyway to pick some plums off the branches where the sun shone warmest. He brought them to me to let me know that the baby wasn't ripe yet. I felt ripe. I was ready to pop. When were the plums going to start falling from that darn tree? Justin would rub my tummy and talk to his baby sister, telling her she had to wait a little longer because the fruit was not ready to be picked yet. His forays into the plum tree lasted longer each day, as if he was coaxing the tree to ripen quickly. He talked to the tree and thanked it for letting him know about this important event in his life. And then one day, it happened. Justin came running into the house, his eyes as big as saucers, with a plastic bucket full of, to the brim, of juicy purple plums. "Hurry, Mommy, hurry," he shouted. "She's coming, she's coming. The plums are ripe. The plums are ripe." I laughed uncontrollably as Justin stared at my stomach as if he expected to see his baby sister erupt at any moment. That morning I did feel a bit queasy, and it wasn't because I had a dental appointment. Before we left the house, Justin went out to hug his plum tree and whisper that today was the day his plum pretty sister would arrive. He was certain. As I sat in the dental chair, the labor pains began just as Justin had predicted. Our plum baby was coming. I called my parents and my husband rushed me to the hospital. At 6:03 p.m. on June 22nd, the day that will forever live in family fame as Plum Pretty Sister Day, our daughter was born. We didn't name her Purple Plum, as Justin suggested, but chose another favorite flower, Heather. At Heather's homecoming, Justin kissed his new playmate and presented her with his plastic bucket full to the brim with sweet, ripe purple plums. "These are for you," he said proudly. Well, Justin and Heather are now teenagers, and the plum tree has become our bonding symbol. Although we moved from the home that housed Justin's favorite plum tree, the first tree to be planted in our new yard was a purple plum so that Justin and Heather could know when to expect their special day. Throughout their growing up years, the children spent countless hours nestled in the branches, counting down the days through the birth of leaves, flowers, buds, and fruit. Our birthday parties are always festooned with plum branches and baskets brimming with freshly picked purple plums. Because, as Mother Nature and Justin would have it, for the last 15 years, the purple plum has ripened exactly on the 22nd of June. That's called The Plum Pretty Sister. It was written by Cynthia Bryan, one of the many stories that make up Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. And this book is devoted entirely to the subject of gardening, but it features stories submitted by authors all over the globe, including actually some New York Times best-selling authors. It's a terrific book. That's a Green Thumb show for this week. For Sun Sounds Radio, I'm Lee Murray, your reader. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. Be safe and healthy. And we'll be talking with you soon.